Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow saints of God, one time an expert in the law came to Jesus and he asked him, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to the man, "Well, what does the law say? How do you understand it?" And the man responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Go and you will live." But then the man wanted to justify himself, and he asked Jesus, "Who exactly is my neighbor?" And this is where Jesus told a parable about a Jewish man traveling. And on his travel, he was robbed, beaten, and left for dead on the road. A priest comes on by. He sees that man, and he continues on. A fellow Israelite comes, and he sees that man, and he walks on by. But then a Samaritan, the people that the Jews detested, saw this Israelite man, took pity on him, bandaged his wounds, and took him to an inn to be taken care of. And he'd do this to show that he, as a Samaritan, was better than the Jews. He didn't do this to receive anything from that man. He did it purely out of love. And when the expert in the law heard this parable and knew who his neighbor was, Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." And Jesus tells us to go and do likewise as well. As Paul wrote here, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. But just as that expert in the law needed to be reminded of who exactly was his neighbor, we too have to be reminded of who exactly is our neighbor. And one person who is our neighbor that we are to love is our government. Now, it can be hard to love our government, can't it? Every single one of us can come up with critiques and excuses and examples of why we shouldn't love our government, that we shouldn't love them as our neighbor. But Paul takes away all of those critiques and excuses by simply writing these words: everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Paul says that each and every one of us are to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. Notice that Paul does not say we are only to submit to a government if it's democratic or communist or any other type of government. Nor does Paul say submit to your government and your leaders if you voted for them or if you approve of them or if they do so many things for you. He simply says submit to your government because they have been established by God. Doesn't mean that God condones all the evil and the wrong things that a government can do, but he has established government. And therefore, if we submit to our government out of law, out of love, then we are submitting to God out of love. But if we do not submit to them, Paul has this to say: consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Nowhere in the Bible does God tell us that we are to rebel against our government. It doesn't even suggest it or hint at it. We are to obey our government. The only time we do not obey our government is when they tell us and force us to sin against God. And even if that should happen, we still don't rebel. We resist. Look at the example of the apostles. Their government told them that they could no longer preach about Jesus. And they said to their government, "We must obey God rather than men." Because they took this stance, they were punished. They were whipped. They were flogged. But after that punishment, they didn't change their message. They weren't encouraging the people to rebel. They kept telling the people to submit to their government out of love for God. Now, what about for us? At this moment, our government is not forcing us to sin against God. Nor do I imagine that any one of you is thinking about rebelling against our government and overthrowing them. But we can still sin and rebel against our government in other ways. God doesn't just tell us to submit to our government. God also tells us to pray for our government, to pray for our president, our congressmen, our mayors, our police officers, and anyone in authority. And let me just ask you, when was the last time you prayed for them? Or when you did pray, was it to help them? Or were you praying to God to punish them for what they had done? God tells us that we are to speak well of others in our government. Do you? And I'm not saying that it's wrong if we debate some things that our government may do, but when you sit down with someone, are you really debating? Or are you just complaining and saying things that you shouldn't say about your leaders? God says we are to respect and honor our government, but we may think that they haven't earned that honor and respect from us. And so when we do this to our government, we are rebelling and sinning against them, which means we are rebelling and sinning against God and coming under His judgment. But not only does Paul give us a spiritual reason to love our government and ourselves and to submit to them, he also gives us a practical reason. He is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. If we rebel against our government, God has given the government the right to punish us. The government is God's servant, an agent of wrath to punish those who do wrong. But this is not the main reason why God established the government. He didn't establish our government to punish us. But rather, as Paul said here, the government is here for our good. Now, we may not always think our government is here for our good, but think of all the good that our government does do. The government has given us a military that protects and defends us. Our government has given us officers and firefighters to rescue us and to keep peace and order in our society. Our government has given us freedoms that we cherish, especially the freedom to practice our religion freely and openly. The government is here to do us good. And in return, we give something to the government. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. We are to pay our taxes to our government because they spend their time governing for us. And we may pay our taxes, but do we rejoice to pay our taxes? We may not always rejoice in paying our taxes because we may think the government is just going to waste that money anyway. We may not rejoice to pay our taxes because maybe we think they're not governing for us. They're just doing it for themselves. We may not rejoice in paying our taxes because we may think this is my money. And they are the one who have increased my taxes and taken benefits away from me. These are all the excuses and the critiques and the examples that we can bring up of why we shouldn't love our government as ourselves. But then we are rebelling against God, rebelling against the government He has established, and therefore we are under His wrath and judgment. We rightly deserve to be punished. But he doesn't punish us as we deserve because of Christ. He submitted to his government out of love. He did not speak out against them. He defended his government. One time when people came to Jesus and they asked him, Jesus, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Jesus said, give me a coin. He said, whose inscription is on this coin? And they said, it's Caesar's. And Jesus said, then give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. Another time when someone came to Jesus and asked if he paid taxes for the temple, Jesus said yes. And to prove it, he had Peter go out to catch a fish, and inside that fish were coins that Jesus gave to pay taxes for the temple. And think about how amazing this is. That Jesus defended his government and submitted to them out of love. This is the same Jewish government that would put Jesus on a mock trial and make up accusations against him. This is the same Roman government that condemned him to death, even though they found nothing guilty about him. These are the soldiers of his government who mocked him, who put a purple robe and a staff and a crown of thorns in his head and mocked him by worshiping him as a king. And while Jesus was being crucified, he did not speak out against them. He spoke for them. He prayed on their behalf and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they were forgiven, because Christ died for the people in his government of his day. Christ died for the people in the government of our day, and Christ died for us as well. And so as we receive his forgiveness and we see Christ's perfect example, this moves us to love our government as ourselves, to submit to them purely out of love for Christ. But it's not just the government that we are to love as our neighbor. Another neighbor we are to love is each other and everyone else. Paul wrote, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Love fulfills God's law. Even if we could obey all of God's commandments perfectly, but we didn't do it out of love, then Scripture says that means nothing. Love means everything. It is love that we go out and reach out to those who are lost or in sin, as the prophet Ezekiel told us. It is love that moves us to forgive those who ask to be forgiven, as we heard in Matthew's gospel. It is love that we do all of these commandments for others. But just like with the government, that we can have our critiques and our examples and our excuses not to love them as our neighbor, we can have critiques and examples and excuses not to love each other as ourselves. Maybe we find it hard to love each other, because when we obey these commandments, we don't do it for them. We do it for us. We do it to make ourselves feel better. We do it to receive something from those people. Maybe we find it hard to love our neighbor because we hold on to a grudge. And we refuse to move on. We refuse to let it go, even if they have asked to be forgiven by us. Maybe we find it hard to love our neighbor as ourselves because that person doesn't seem to love me as he or she should. Remember, Jesus said, even love your enemies. Love those who hate you and those who persecute you. And maybe we just find it hard to love our neighbor because we wake up in the morning thinking that we're going to change things about ourselves, that we're going to be loving. And then we fall into the same old habit of not loving others as we should. And therefore, because we do this, we harm our neighbor. because love does no harm. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when it is hard to love our neighbor as ourselves, whether it's the government or each other or others, stop looking at you to fix the problem. Start looking at who is in you to fix the problem. Inside of us is God. And Scripture calls our God a God who is love. Love is who our God is. Love is what God does. It is love for the world that God sent His one and only Son to be our Savior. It is love that God has made us His own. He calls us His children. He calls us our friends. It is love that He forgives us when we ask to be forgiven by Him. It is love that Christ fulfilled the law for us, not because we deserved it, not to receive anything from us. He did it purely out of love. And it is this God of love who lives in us, which means as we turn to Him, God will move and help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Therefore, just as the expert in the law was reminded of who his neighbor was, and Jesus told him to go and do likewise, we too now know who our neighbor is, and we are to go and do likewise. Let us love our government as ourselves by submitting to them, because God has established the government for our good. Let us fulfill the law and do no harm by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And let us always go to our God of love, who will help us to love everyone as ourselves. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.